everyone, and welcome to a very exciting new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. I am so giddy because we have two of my favorite artists joining us today. This is like an ice cream sundae with all the fixings. This is such a delight, such a treat. Today joining us, we have the creators and performers Nicola Dempsey and Rosie Dempsey. You may know them more though as Flo and Joan. And they're here to talk to us about their new musical, One Man Musical, which is part of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's playing July 31st through August 25th at 7 p.m. at the Pleasance Dome, Queen Dome. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting flowandjoan.com. I am still pinching myself because I can't believe this is real. I'm getting to speak to the Joan. So why don't we waste no more time and welcome in our guests, Nicola, Rosie. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Whisper in the Wings.
Do we have to whisper the whole time?
Yeah.
No, please don't hurt your voices. No.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so honored that you're here. I really can't believe this is happening. I'm such a huge fan. As I mentioned to you before we started, I saw one of your videos, one of your songs, I should say, on TikTok. And I was like, I don't know who these people are, but I have to know more. So the fact that this is happening, I mean, it's like interviewing your heroes. You know what I mean?
They always say never meet the hero.
Yeah.
You don't know enough about us.
Yeah.
Be careful.
These are high stakes.
Knock wood, so far, so good. Joining us today with this new show, One Man Musical. This is exciting. So, Nicola, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about this show?
Yes. So it is we've written a one-man musical.
End of point.
I think we've explained it all. a one-man musical. It is a musical for one person to perform. We are not in it, but we will be playing the music. So we'll be hiding in the wings, Rosie on drums and me on keys. And then we've hired a wonderful actor, George Fouracres, who's going to play this man. It's a famous man. I think your listeners will 100% know who he is, but we are avoiding using his name to give ourselves the longest chance of not getting a cease and desist is the vibe at the moment. But it's sort of an almost autobiographical musical about a famous man who, once you are in the room, you will know who it is. But until that point, we are trying to keep it quiet.
That is incredible. I cannot wait to see Jimmy Carter the musical. No. No, that's amazing. That's so enticing. So Rosie, let me ask, how is it that you two came up with the idea for this show?
The idea for the show is because, well, a few different things. We were working on a big ensemble musical before this and constantly being warned that these ensemble musicals take a long time to do and cost a lot of money. And we go to the Edinburgh Fringe a lot to do shows. We wanted to go back and try a musical. But with budgets in Edinburgh Fringe and budgets in musicals, we were like, let's just do it about one person. And it's just going to be that one person on the stage, keep the budget as low as possible. And we were staying in Canada with some friends, and we went to Canada's Wonderland. We were on a train at 7:30, 8 in the morning.
It's a big theme park.
Big theme park, yeah. And we were like, oh, what if the musical is about this man? And we came up with loads of ideas really fast. And we're like, yeah, that sounds fun. Easy. We'll bosh it out. We can do it at the Edinburgh Fringe. It makes sense. It makes sense for this man to be at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the twofold way of how this show came about.
Yes.
That's amazing. I love that origin. I love the mystery still. I'm hooked to know more. So, as we are barreling towards the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, you know, at this time of recording, I think we are just under 4 weeks away. You know, let me ask the two of you, what has it been like developing this show? And Nicola, why don't I start first with you on that?
It's been really interesting because when we normally write shows, we write musical comedy shows, which are just the two of us on stage writing fun songs about whatever we've sort of occupied our minds with. So drinking too much or horrible regrets or having an alien for a boyfriend. But there's never too much of we've never sort of restricted ourselves or sort of tied ourselves to a narrative before. It's always just been kind of a collection of songs and our thoughts for the year. Whereas with this, we, for the first time ever, are writing the book, the music and the lyrics. And so trying to write something with a narrative structure and figure out what that is has been very interesting and challenging in a fun way, I think, so far. I think we're nearly getting there. And just kind of figuring out, we did a lot of research on this person. And so trying to figure out the things that you want to keep in and the things that you want to lose. And that has sort of been very, what we thought it was going to be about when we first had the original idea is sort of, it's kind of morphed on a little bit from that as well. So it's just been interesting seeing how something with a narrative and when you're basing it on a human person, like how that's kind of moved and changed over the last few months as we've been working on it.
Yes, it's changed quite a bit from the original idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rosie, anything you'd like to add to that?
One of the things, I know it's a little bit boring, but one of the things we're learning so much is we wrote the songs in our voice to make the demos and to try them in front of audiences, but we're now passing it on to a guy called George, and we're having to change some of the keys of the songs. Mm-hmm. And finding, this is very silly and nerdy, but finding that some songs, when you change the key for a singer, sound really quite different. Or we've got this love song in it, and it was written in
A flat,
and it's just got this, it's got the perfect sound that we're looking for, but we've had to move it to a different key for George, and we're trying to find what is the perfect key that is as close as possible
capture the sound so that he can still sing it.
Yeah,
the kind of nerdy, if people, I'm sure there are normal musical directors and people who write those kinds of things know instinctively how to do that, but because we've never had to, we've only ever written for ourselves, it's been really interesting figuring out those kind of really boring technical things of like, oh, of course this man can't sing the same in the same keys as we can, that's not reasonable. It's been really interesting.
Yes, difficult.
Yes, but a big learning
bloody
experience.
Annoying actually.
Fantastic. That sounds like such an incredible process. Amazing. With the show, I'm curious to know, as you're taking it to Edinburgh Fringe, is this the world premiere of the piece?
Yes. Well, yes, it is. For as long as it exists, it is. If it gets to Edinburgh.
Without being shut down.
Yeah. We're only doing three previews of it in London. We're asking the audience to not spread the word.
Yeah.
So hopefully it gets to there. Hopefully it gets to Edinburgh. But yes, it will be the world premiere.
Oh, yeah. The first premiere.
Well, then when it gets to Edinburgh, which I know it's going to, with such an iconic person that you're depicting in your show, I'm curious to know, is there a message or a thought you hope audiences take away from your piece? And Nicola, if I could start again with you on that.
Yes. Well, mostly, actually, no, I was going to say mostly our MO is always to make people laugh. It's a, like, before anything else, it's a comedy. So if we're not making people laugh, then we have failed. But I think we're finding with this person that a lot of people know a lot about them, but everyone knows something different. So I want them to learn a little bit more to round out their own knowledge. And so that I know that I'm not the only person in the world that has all this information about this person in my head. And also a bit like, you know, when people are like, think about where your burgers come from. Think about where your food comes from. Think about what you eat and what it's doing for you and where you're, how it's made.
This show isn't about Ronald McDonald,
about Ronald McDonald. He is not the famous figure that we are talking about. But maybe that it makes people think about how the sausage got made, the value of art, who makes it,
yes,
how they make it, what you eat, what you choose to eat,
and why they're famous,
and why.
Yeah. Why we remember them.
Yeah.
And the lengths that they've gone to make sure that you remember them.
Yes.
I suppose.
And whether we should or not.
Yes.
I like those thoughts, and it makes me even more interested to see the show.
About off air.
Yeah. But next year, we are going to do Ronald McDonald the musical. That is my...
Yeah. I think the fact that we're doing this show in Edinburgh probably says one of the biggest messages. Realistically, it makes no sense for this person to be in Edinburgh, but the show existing in Edinburgh makes absolute sense for why they've ended up in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I would say. Edinburgh's been messaging for us.
You know when people leave breadcrumbs down to like take you to a clue? It's like we've picked up the bag of breadcrumbs and just dispersed them everywhere. Like, if you can figure something out from this, then you win. You can watch the show. But it doesn't feel like we're leading people in like a gentle, normal way to be like, if you just keep following here, this is where you'll get to the answer. We've just exploded the bag of breadcrumbs and are like, if you can find a few,
that's our style.
Good luck.
Explode the bag.
Explode the bag. Also, how our mum died. Actually, our mum is alive. She is well.
My final question for this first part, and I'm really curious to know, given the subject matter, given your style and your normal audience, you know, who do you hope have access to One Man Musical? And Rosie, could I actually start first with you on that, please?
I think it's really going to attract the deep cut theater fans. I think that's going to be our, we have found in, we've done it, we previewed it a couple of times so far, just us doing read through of it. And there are pockets of people in the audience who are really maniacally laughing at the very tiny details that no one else is getting. So I think the biggest nuggets are in there for theatre nerds. But the person did...
has crossed over.
Crossed over, yeah. They have a public image, and definitely during the 90s, 80s and 90s, they were in the papers a lot. Mm. So I think general public people will also find it very funny. I think even if you don't know a lot about it, the person is naturally funny in general. Yeah. So it's a really widespread, probably the same people who come and see our shows, just gigantic widespread that we can't pinpoint.
But we're very happy they're there.
Very happy that they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I reckon the real gems are there for the little theatre fans.
I want the theatre nerds in so that I know that they're laughing at all of the little bits that we're like, I wonder if they'll get this. I wonder if they'll get that. And you can just hear them like, yes. You're like, okay, good. We got them.
Second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start with our regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? You know, what playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past or are just some of your favorites? And Rosie, can I start with you first on this, please?
Yes. In musical theatre world, probably what originally inspired us was going to see amateur productions like of musicals. Theater. Yeah, community theatre. So it would have been the old kind of productions like the My Fair Ladies and Oklahoma and Sound of Music. That was probably the first kind of like theatre sound that we ever heard. Mm. And I still love all of those old musicals so much, the golden age kind of things. And then growing older, on the pop side, our mum played a lot of disco and, you know, like Beatles and all 70s stuff. Mm. A lot of that kind of music came through into our ears. And then made the big turn as a teenager and found Stephen Sondheim. Mm. Stephen Sondheim's probably like the, you know, the golden goose.
Yeah.
That you always hope that you're achieving that. I mean, in the taste palette, he's the tastiest thing, and you always hope that you're... I'm rambling.
No.
My final answer is Stephen Sondheim.
No, that is a great list there. I love that. I love that we landed on Stephen Sondheim. It's so wonderful.
Mm.
Nicola, what about you? What are who inspires you?
Old Stevie would have been also up there. But I feel like as well as the kind of amateur like Rodgers and Hammerstein and all those kind of people that you get as a feeder, we were babies during the Alan Menken, Howard Ashman golden years of Disney movies. So a lot of The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, like those kind of like Aladdin.
Yeah, Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like were like the kind of bedrock, I think, of probably a musical theatre sound that we didn't realise.
Yeah.
And I only recently listened to Little Shop of Horrors properly and was like, oh, this is like one of the greatest things I've ever heard. And like obviously knew that they had written it, but just never put two and two together and was like, oh, obviously I love this because I loved all of that Disney music. But, and then also that kind of, yeah, you kind of more, I really love David Yazbek, who wrote like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and Women on the Verge. Like, I think he writes really funny music and really funny songs. and the rhythm of them is always really interesting. Like, I just love how he uses music and the things that he chooses to write shows about.
What's that bit in Dirty Road? Is it Dirty Road Scandals? And she's like, "These sound they French.
Oh yeah,
the sound they French. These the guys are French. The guys are French."
Yeah.
What is it?
The
air. The waiter's French. Oh,
the air is French. The sea is French. The way they say.
The way they say Sancerre is French. The something French. The guys are French. These fries are French.
It's so good.
He's really rhythmical in his
days.
He's cool.
And like really playful. And like, what's the song in the Tootsie? The I know what's going to happen. Just how he. We write very wordy, very like tricky songs like for ourselves. And when I heard I Know What's Gonna Happen, was just like, oh god, why did I never write that song? Like one of those where you're like, oh, I wish that was mine, but I every time it shuffles on my phone, I'm like, this just, it slaps. I love his music.
Yeah.
I find it so fun.
That is also wonderful. One another wonderful list of inspiration there. That's fabulous.
We loaded up that list.
We
I think we just mentioned every composer there's ever been. Actually,
Jerry Herman. I'll throw him in there as well.
Oh yeah, I class Jerry in the old musicals vibes.
I play me the Mac and Maybelline overture and I will cry.
So. Kind of building off of that, I'm curious to know. I mean, I know you've been very busy with the show, but have you seen any great theater lately you might be able to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, we're like theater hounds. I said that incorrectly. My favorite thing in London at the moment is Standing at the Sky's Edge, which I don't know if any of the buzz of that show has gone. Yeah, she's what's the word? Spread. It's one of the most beautiful shows that is just about human experience. It's funny that I didn't realize that it's technically a jukebox musical, but the music fits so perfectly, and I didn't know any of the music of the person who wrote it. And so to me, I was like, oh, you've just made this beautiful musical and written these beautiful songs for it. And someone was like, no, the songs already existed. They made it. But yeah, it's human. It's funny. Like visually, it was amazing. I cried, like sobbed at multiple times in it. And there was a woman next to me who was crying as well in a way where you're like, I'm actually going to check that this woman's okay. Because like, I'm crying. But this woman feels like inconsolable at the moment because it's just so, I don't know why, I don't know how they do it, but there's just something that just, it just hit in such a specific way that I was like, oh, I'm crying and this isn't stopping. It was just beautiful. It's so hearty. It's so joyous. Oh, I love it so much. I'm not sure how much longer it is on in London, but oh my God, it was like one of the best things I've seen in years. I love it. Yeah,
I wonder if it would work in America though, because it is a very British feeling. I think it's around the sort of Margaret Thatcher, pulls on that strings a little bit, and it's about a living situation which is quite
in the UK.
A living situation in the UK which is very UK.
But then it's very like about the humans,
the in human that experience. Situation. Yeah,
so maybe it will.
It's lovely. Yeah. It's a really lovely.
Yeah,
film.
And I saw Two Strangers on a Cake. No, two. Oh my
two
God,
strangers
two
on a cake. That's a little wedding things. Yeah, the little people on a cake.
Two strangers carry a cake across New York, which I went to see. They had like a Sunday matinee at like 3 p.m. or something. And I was like, I'm not doing anything on a Sunday. I took myself to a little theater trip and was very, not surprised because that implies that I went in with like no expectations, but I was very just like, I haven't seen the show. A few people have said it's good. I've got a free Sunday, let's go and see it. And again, like for some reason it just like hit where I was like, oh, this is just like a solid, it's two people. It's yeah, for some reason it wouldn't, nor on paper it wouldn't be for me. But for some reason I was like, fair play, actually, this is great. I like really enjoyed it. Had a lovely afternoon at the theatre.
Oh.
Yeah, it's nice.
I haven't seen anything in a long time, but I saw a play the other day. I'm not very good with plays. That I'm so intimidated by them. I always feel like I just have missed something. I'm really bad at information. Like with getting the information on the top of a show, like the first 5 minutes is really difficult for me. But I saw People, Places and Things, which I believe was in, I think it was in New York a handful of years ago. I saw that the other night. They've put it back on with the same actress, Denise. Can't remember her name. Incredible show, very fun, a play I would see again easily. It helped me like plays again. Really cool show, and the sound design I thought was just phenomenal. It blew the speakers out. It was so great.
I love those suggestions. Yes. Well, let me ask you too, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? Nicola, can I start first with you on that, please?
Yeah. I am finding at the moment with One Man Musical, and also we earlier on in the year did a workshop of this a big musical we're writing called The Revival. And so there were 12 people in that, plus us and the book writer, Connor. And I'm finding it in this as well, that collaborating with people, it sounds so lame, but normally the only people that work on anything are the two of us. Just, and it's a fight to the death of what things happen, what things go and what things don't. And you, there's no outside, like, obviously, like, we love working together and it has worked very well for us, but
speak for yourself.
Okay, well, I will. But there's something about the, like, the collaboration of just having like loads of people to ask, loads of people to work with, loads of different ideas. Like, our George, who is playing our one man in One Man Musical, has like brought stuff in like two teeny rehearsals that we would never have thought of. Our director, Georgie State, has like just working with other people who are also like invested in the thing and have become excited for the thing with you is really lovely, in a way that obviously, like, we're always going to be sort of hopefully excited by our own stuff, but it's nice to be working with other people who are like, and then we can do this, and I've got this, and I thought we could do that. Like, it's been so lovely to, on like the small scale of One Man Musical and also on The Revival, of people just having, getting excited for stuff is so, has been so warming, and also like very nice and reassuring that you're like, we're not crazy, this might be a good idea, like we might have something here. It's so nice to not just be the two of us screaming into an abyss wondering whether we're losing our minds and whether we've got something or whether we should just give up. Has been I love working with other people. I love it so much. I don't know how people like stand-ups do it, or I'm like, how do you not want like 10 people around you to make things? It's so fun.
I love that answer. That is a testament to the power of theater. We love a good collaboration.
Yes.
Rosie, how about you?
This is so annoying, but I would honestly say exactly the same thing, because we're at the earliest days of starting to work in theatre, because all of our career so far has been in comedy. So, and we physically play comedy in theatres. Yes. Our tours go to a lot of theatres. So I always enjoy the general feeling of being inside of a theatre. That is the best.
Yeah.
The smell of the little red seats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I go around and sniff every seat. I don't know about you, but that's my favourite thing about working in the theatre. Yeah, the moment they get up off the seat. Yeah. And the ice creams. That's my favourite thing. We are on our very early days, so we have that sort of like naive glow. Of,
yeah.
Like, oh, it's lovely when people suggest things.
Yeah. Isn't it cute that you warm up?
In 2 years, we'll be like, get them away from us.
Yeah. I don't want any more ideas.
Just us and our safe little box.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that as well. Thank you. Those are fabulous answers. Well, now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I have one that's kind of like a collective memory, and it's sort of a cop-out because it's not pinpointing one specific thing. But when I was like 18, 19, I was at college in the day and then would work in a petrol station in the evenings. And then at the weekends, where we lived in the UK when we were growing up, you could get a train that was an hour into central London. So it was a really short, and for us, like a very short train. And I would, at the weekends, me and my friends, and like sometimes you, like there were always groups of us, we would go and see shows and would tick off like, okay, we've seen this one. Like, all we did for like an entire year was just go into the West End and see shows. And sometimes you'd go in for a matinee, and then in the evening you would see, like, I remember we went in to see, I think it was with you and Harry, we went in to see Lord of the Rings, the musical, at 2:30. And then in the evening, we were looking through the programme and there was an advert for Avenue Q in the back. And we had both seen it, but your friend hadn't seen it. And we went to the box office like 10 minutes before it started and got, it's the same as you, like £20 seats to sit in the box. And it was just, for an entire year, our weekends were just going up to see concerts and show. That was how I saw my first Sondheim, which was A Little Night Music with Hannah Waddingham and Jesse Buckley in it. I saw like shows I Spring Awakening had just come to London then, so we got to see Spring Awakening, and then you're also La Cage aux Folles was in there, and it hadn't been like just seeing all of the, and also like you're mixing in like Mamma Mia and We Will Rock You, because why not? But it was just a year of going to see just anything we could get our hands on for like cheap as well. Like sometimes you'd save up to see something because you wanted to sit in good seats, and then other times you'd be like, let's see what we can get for like, we've got 15 quid left, and we'd eat McDonald's in between because that was all we could afford, because we spent all of our money on like train tickets and theater tickets. And it was like one of my favorite years of my life. The grind in the week, and then at the weekend you're like
that petrol station grind,
literally that, like we're going to see La Cage aux Folles this afternoon,
fill in the pumps, and yeah, then a bit of Wicked.
A bit Wicked.
That is a wonderful memory. Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie, how about you? What is your favorite theater memory?
I'm really trying to rack my brain because I don't think I have a favorite one, but and my memory is so bad. But one experience that did spring to mind was when we saw just after COVID and theatre started opening, Sutton Foster came over here and did Anything Goes at the Barbican. And I, as I said, I do love an old fashioned, big old hammy tap explosion. I like a big bag explosion in the in my musicals too. And it was the, I think we saw it on the press night. It was the big tap number, the Anything Goes at the end of the first act. And I just remember like holding onto my seat as though I was going to explode, because I was like, this is so cheesy. And they're tapping, and Sutton Foster couldn't be any more perfect for this role. We're all outside watching the theatre. It was just the best feeling. And the trumpets and the taps and the smiles, it was just like a little cheesy. Oh, it was the best. It really was the best. And then curtains come down, your interval, curtains come back up, and they do Blow Gabriel Blow, right? Is that,
yeah,
which is just another giant dance explosion. The music was just so slick. Sutton Foster, I mean, there's no one better. It was perfection for me. It was the feeling of COVID being sort of over and theatre being back was lovely. It was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, I love that memory too. Another fabulous show I adore. Thank you both so much for those. Those are really, really fantastic.
Thank you for asking. Yeah. I'm so annoyed. I've probably got a million of those memories. I just, my recall is so bad.
Pretty good one. I think you picked it solid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
The only other thing that is in a pipeline, but it's not we don't have a set date for it, would be the other musical that we're workshopping. So
the revival,
yes, that one's our sort of big ensemble number, big ensemble thing. So we'll probably be workshopping that again in,
yeah, there'll be some kind of winter public workshop for it.
Yeah, a public workshop.
And while we're in Edinburgh, sorry.
Oh, while we're in Edinburgh, yeah. We're doing our own show in Flo and Joan's show in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
To claw some money back.
And because we love what we do.
And to claw some money back.
Yeah, that's in the last 2 weeks of it. So One Man Musical is on for the whole of Edinburgh, and then the Joan and Flo show is on for the last 2 weeks of Edinburgh. So that's a kind of best of old, new, like best of with some new as well.
Yeah, it'll be fun for us because we are just going to pull out the biggies,
all the songs that we love singing,
some new things.
That's
exciting. So some things we definitely need to stay tuned for, and that's a great lead into my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about One Man Musical or about you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
We're on everything at Flo and Joan.
Yes, social medias.
Probably Instagram is what we use the most.
Instagram is the most, but we're on all of the, we've got some kind of connection to all of the other ones in some way or another.
In all some kind of form, it's at Flo and Joan.
Yes. FLOANDJOAN.
Boom.
Wonderful. Well, Nicola, Rosie, thank you both so, so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I still can't believe that this has happened. This has been such a So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
My guests today have been the creators and performers Nicola Dempsey and Rosie Dempsey. They joined us to talk about their upcoming show, being presented, of course, by Flo and Joan, entitled One Man Musical. It's part of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it's playing July 31st through August 25th at 7 p.m. at Pleasant Dome, Queen Dome. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting flowandjoan.com. And we also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media posts. But right now, you need to head to their website, flowandjoan.com, and get your tickets for this new show, One Man Musical. I'm going to call it now. This thing is going to sell out, not only because of who's creating this, but the actual show itself. It sounds amazing. I want to know who this mysterious character is. I can't wait to find out. So head to flowandjoan.com, get your tickets now for One Man Musical, playing July 31st through August 25th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies.
I keep talking about the theater in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.